The first question, if a woman's purpose is to be man's helper, how does a single woman fulfill this purpose? And I did pretty much go over this during the main talk. So, but basically, a single woman is a free individual of the church community. All right, so question. Is there a modern-day application for head covering? For example, many have suggested that a wedding ring is comparable. Now, a wedding ring has nothing to do with Christian tradition. It just doesn't. So, you know, the modern-day version of head coverings would be to dress modestly. All right? So, and the definition of dressing modestly can vary. All right? So, I mean, and I think we need to use wisdom. You know, think about the church you're walking into. Okay? You know, if they dress very conservatively, so should you. Okay. It's a matter of respect. All right. Have you read No Little Women by Amy Bird? If so, do you have any feedback? I'm actually very aware of the book, and I've read reviews on it, but I have not read the book. One interesting thing in the book is she defines helper as this ezer word, or ezer, as a necessary ally. And I'm not sure why she goes with that translation, but she does. But, you know, I think I don't read Amy Bird a lot because, you know, I think Amy Bird is, she's focused on something very important, and that is bringing, you know, awareness to women to become more theologically astute. And I'm all for that. So I think it's fantastic. I'm a little more focused on actually getting the strong theology out there. So I've listed a little different focus from Amy, but I totally think, you know, I think it's fantastic what she does, but I only have so many reading hours in the day, so I kind of have to limit what I read. Good point. You know, I mean, I think it's kind of sad that she actually has to make some of these arguments that women, you know, should be learning theology, but, you know, it's needed in today's society. And I'm sure I'm glad she's an OPC sister. So, okay, we had another question about head coverings. So they're usually explained as a cultural issue. And, you know, so this person's asking, but what about the angels? What's this odd thing about the angels? Okay, so the person said, since angels do not belong to any earthly culture, how would you explain? Okay, so Paul's main point here is that a woman should be respectfully honoring the God-ordained structure, which in worship is the ministry of the word preached. So Paul here, when he's referring to the angels, is likely referring to the truth that when the church worships, she is taken up to a heavenly plane where we are with the angels. And the angels join in with our worship of God on the Lord's Day. So to throw off the headship order in the presence of angels is especially shameful because it's a flagrant denial of God's good order. And again, for us today, this means dressing modestly. All right. And this is from Pastor Keel. So this is not the doctrine of Leanne here. So Pastor Zach Keel. Okay. Question. This is a good question. I'm glad they're all great questions. But if having expectations in relationships can bring trouble, would you say that having no expectations in your relationships is encouraged or healthy? In other words, should we strive not to have any expectations in our relationships? Oh, my goodness. Absolutely not. I have lots of expectations, you know, in my relationships with my husband and children and even my friendships. You know, I mean, I expect my husband and children to be respectful, kind, responsible, gracious, clean, you know, and in general, show basic human courtesy. You know, so you know, we really shouldn't expect people to desire or enjoy our company when we don't show good manners and thoughtful behavior in general. And I like to say that really, what is the summation of good manners? It's really thoughtfulness for other people's feelings. And I think that too often we actually abuse the relationships of the people we live with because we feel like, oh, well, they have to put up with me. So if I just feel like being in a mood, I'll be in a mood. No. At least have the courtesy to say, you know, I'm in a really rotten mood, you know. And I notice I tend before, like, I host an event, and I love hosting events, but I just a little beforehand, I'm a little on edge, you know. And so, you know, I might have a little glass of wine and, you know, and just say, you know, hey, I'm sorry if I'm a little bit, you know. But so I think just a bit of recognizing when we're grumpy and, but be thoughtful. I think you should be the most, you know, respectful of the people who are stuck with you. Okay? I mean, nitpicky expectations are another matter. If you have something nitpicky you want your spouse to do, then ask him super nicely and then maybe do something really nice for him for doing it. You know? I mean, be reasonable. Okay. Question. Okay, I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say this. My husband loves back rubs. He loves back rubs. He just loves them, loves them. I mean, I can't get over how much he loves them. And you know what? I love giving him back rubs because it makes him so happy. You know, I think it tones my arms too. You know, but there's a little rule in the house. You know, it's a strict covenant of works. You know? I mean, if he wants a back rub, he's going to have to behave himself. You know? And if he's grumpy or ornery, I'm like, somebody doesn't want a back rub tonight, do they? He gets it, you know. And he laughs. He actually smiles and laughs. I mean, you know, it's fantastic. We have a great relationship, but that's okay. It's okay. I mean, then there was the time I bought a $60 pair of sunglasses, and I told my husband as I was rubbing his back, I said, "Oh, I bought this pair of sunglasses today, and they were just amazing." And I hate to tell you this, but they were $300. And of course, I'm rubbing his back. What's he going to say? He's not going to get upset because he doesn't want me to stop rubbing his back. And then I said, "Just kidding. They were only $60." And then he was like, "Wow, what a deal!" Okay, that's just a little tip for you all. Okay, it works. Okay, question. I think in many Christian marriages, the husbands are not leading their families spiritually and in other areas. They may feel emasculated, incompetent, and never had a role model. They're immature or other reasons. What advice would you give to the wives in these situations who may want their husbands to lead but won't? Someone has to lead. I'm really glad someone asked this question. First off, we should not assume the man is not leading. He just might not be leading in the way the wife thinks he should be leading. I mean, you know, what does the wife view as leading? Daily devotionals? Because your friend's husband does daily devotionals? You think, well, my husband doesn't do daily devotionals. You know, so what male leadership looks like can vary from one family to another. Telling your husband that he needs to do this or that to be a leader is basically, it's criticizing him. And it probably won't get you the desired result. Think the sunglasses. Think, you know, I mean, think, what's the result you want? You know, you would like him to take a more active role in spiritual leadership. So, you know, criticizing him like this is likely to make him retreat more. Okay, because now he's just going to feel like, wow, I'm never good enough. It's never good enough what I try to do for the family. So perhaps maybe try asking him, "Gee, hon, you know, would you, like, it would be so great, like, would you read a chapter of the Bible to the kids tonight, you know, after dinner? That would be awesome." And then maybe as he's reading that chapter, he might even comment on it. And then listen and be tuned into what he's saying. And then when he brings up something about the Bible, anything, pay attention. You know, give him positive feedback. You know, if he sees people are respecting what he's saying, you know, then that's going to encourage him to get more involved. Okay. So the bottom line is that a man may not mature spiritually as fast as you might like. So you grow in your faith and be a helper to him, and do not do so in a disrespectful way. You know, men have very fragile egos. Wow. If you haven't figured that out yet, you know, this really, they do. I remember it was actually Calvary Chapel pastor. So said this years ago when I was young, attending a Calvary Chapel church. He said, a woman can make a man feel like a king or a mouse. I never forgot it. So I think that's it on all the questions. I did want to add that if any of you have an interest in writing, okay, I have a website. And, I'm concerned. I've expressed this before at another talk I gave. I'm concerned with all the blogging I see out there. I see a lot of women who have a heart to share their faith, and they blog. And, there's no structure to it. And, what I set up at Beautiful Christian Life is I have a team of editors. Three of us have theological degrees. I have, my pastor, professors at the school who are supporting me. So, we take every piece that is posted on the site seriously. And so I like mentoring people. It's one of my favorite things to do. So if you have an interest, reach out to me because I can help you. And, I care about your writing. I care about putting you, out there in your best light. And, hey, if you're young, get going now and grow. And if you're older, I could really use some older women writers on the site. I mean, I think I'm the oldest one, and it'd just be so great to get, more experienced women writers up there. But by the way, this might surprise you all, but about 54% of the readers of Beautiful Christian Life are men. Actually, it's very interesting. Just reach out to me. I would love to support you. I pretty much publish every piece we get, but it goes through an editorial process and you'll learn in that process. Anyway, thank you again, ladies. And it's been an honor and a privilege.